Hello, everybody. It's the Bookcast, episode number 151. We are recording on the 29th of May, 2017. Hello, I'm Stephen Impson. That's my name. And I'm hosting the show along with my good friends and pals, Daniel Worthington. He is one of them. How are you?
What up? I am doing snappy. That's what I'm doing.
For context, he just made snapping noises for the last minute and a half before
we
started recording.
It was not a minute and a half.
So
it was like 10 seconds at most.
And my other
time is relative.
That's my other buddy, old pal, Troy. How are you?
Oh yeah,
sure, all right, mate.
Is that your standard response? I've noticed this has become a pattern.
It's Australian, right? That's how you say.
Oh yeah,
I'm
mate.
Good.
Doing all right.
Here, I
doing
guess.
Bloody great. You know, not bad at all. Not bad.
No, that's too talkative. Australians are just, oh, yeah.
Got to get more lazy. More abbreviated. Anyway, there's news to talk about this episode, fortnight, week, time frame. The first little bit of news that's happened over the last couple of days is that Monster Hunter, is it Double Cross?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Monster Hunter Double Cross, that was a game that was on... was coming to the 3DS or is on the 3DS already? I'm so out of touch with Monster Hunter.
It's already out on the 3DS in
like
Japan.
It's
like a, I don't know, Street Fighter Championship Edition version of Monster Hunter Cross, which came out over here as Monster Hunter Generations.
Okay, that makes
some
sense.
So it adds a bunch of new fighting styles to it and obviously new monsters.
It's basically the same game, just with more features.
And a new hat.
Well,
just a handful of... And a new, yeah.
Yeah, that same game full of new features is coming, maybe, I don't know if it has more new features, but it's coming to a nicer screen that is your Switch's screen at some point in the future. So yeah, that's exciting. Like, it's the game that I'm sure that every episode for the past 3 or 4, someone has mentioned that it needs to happen for the Switch and then it will be sold out forever.
I like how as soon as it got announced, Nintendo's stock just sort of skyrocketed.
I found it interesting that Capcom, like, the day before, were like, we're going to base our support of the Switch on Ultra Street Fighter 2. And then...
Apparently it was mistranslated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, everyone sort of...
Good,
I mean, you know,
was horrible.
We all sort of lunged on that as well on Twitter, and it's like, what the hell are you talking about? Just, like...
Don't Konami this up.
Yeah, pretty much.
Konami's doing better with the Switch than you are. Next thing you'll know, they'll go like, Spyborgs for the Switch, and if that fails, then we're not going to do anything else.
But like, it seems like they've given some interesting little bits of information as to, you know, some stuff that's going to happen with the Switch version. Interestingly, you can migrate your data from the 3DS to the Switch, which would be good for people buying it a second time.
You could do that with, I think it was 3 Ultimate.
Yeah,
between
from 3DS
Wii U
to
and 3DS.
Yeah.
But you could do it both ways.
See,
oh, okay.
So,
I'm pretty
sure. This is actually also interesting because it's not just Monster Hunter Double Cross. It's like Monster Hunter Cross. Monster Hunter Generations, you could move your data over from that to this, assuming this comes out to the West, which I'm going to guess it will.
Yeah, which
it
probably will, but it hasn't been confirmed. Yeah, we should probably
clarify
that.
But I wouldn't be surprised if this is a big announcement at E3 because... It got announced for like August 21st or something like that in Japan.
August 25 in Japan,
which is also a Friday, which is the usual sort of worldwide release dates. And I don't know if I'm being overly optimistic. I could kind of see Nintendo at E3 going, "Oh yeah, this is coming out August, same day as Japan, because we want to really push this as another big thing for Nintendo."
The thing is, it's basically the same game as what it is on the 3DS, which is already out. So if there was any localization effort made for the 3DS version, it should be able to be used for the Switch version.
And I mean, that would have only been that came out a week after the Switch in Japan, and that's already been 3 months. And so
if they're closing the gap, I think the Japanese and West release dates for Generations, Cross and Generations, was 6 months.
Something like that.
So, fingers crossed, don't get your hopes up, but it could happen.
Yeah, one thing that I found interesting, but less so now that Troy's reminded me of 3 Ultimate, is that there'll be crossplay between the Switch and the 3DS, which, from memory, there was on the Wii U and 3DS of 3 Ultimate.
No,
a confirmed thing.
Not online, because 3 Ultimate on the 3DS was local only, so you had to sort of tether it to a Wii U or something. Whereas this is... local.
Yeah.
Only online.
Online yeah. only.
So it's like you're connected to the servers.
Because I would imagine that the 3DS and the Switch have different wireless protocols, so they can't connect directly to each other, but they can, yeah, they can connect to the same servers online and everyone can play. I guess if you have to tether, then that's what you have to do.
Random aside, was there, outside of Monster Hunter Ultimate on the 3DS and Wii U, were there any other 3DS and Wii U games that sort of communicated with each other?
Smash.
Yeah, but that's it, wasn't it?
The whole Smash controller thing, yeah.
Because,
And yeah, they can do 4 players locally if you're all on Switches, so that'd be a cool way to play. And it's going to be apparently in 1080p when docked, and I assume 720p when it's on the screen, because that's the resolution.
No, it's also 1080 when, it's just a firmware update to update the pixels.
Ah, cool. I like that. or maybe they'll have 1080p in the special edition console. That's a joke. But yeah, there's a special edition console coming for it in Japan as well, which looks to be a regular Switch, but with a sort of patterned dock, which is a neat way to do it. I was
hearing that there might be patterns on the console itself. The
Joy-Cons. Oh, okay.
Patterned Joy-Cons.
No, the Joy-Cons looked great.
But I'm just thinking if they did patterned Joy-Cons.
But apparently the Switch body might have some patterning on it.
Okay.
I read it in a couple of places. Obviously, we can't see the things. Where we don't know.
Yeah, of course. The body?
Probably on the back.
On the back, yeah.
Where I can't see it.
No, you can't see the back in that photo.
I mean, not if you're look. If you're looking at the back while you're playing, you sort of can't play the game.
I'll try and make sure I put the photo in the show notes for anyone who's clueless of what we're on about.
But the dock itself.
Yes, yeah, the dock itself has
It looks like the same sort of printing as the actual logo on the normal dock.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
But it brings up an interesting discussion with how are they going to do special edition consoles. If they do special edition consoles, is it going to be the dock only, or maybe Joy-Cons? Or?
Well, I mean, Splatoon has the Joy-Cons, doesn't it? Or at least in Japan.
But they're separately available.
Yeah.
Which is the interesting part.
I mean, I could sort of see, like I always thought Joy-Cons would be where all the special edition sort of insignia and, you know, all that crap comes from.
It sort of means that they can pull from the regular standard Switch stock and only make the Joy-Con separately, kind of similar to what the new 3DS was like with limited edition systems. Yeah. Didn't some come with faceplates? Yep.
Yeah.
But
Splatoon 2 also has the Pro Controller with the special edition.
Ah, true, yeah.
Yeah, special.
So it seems they've got options.
Also, there was a special edition announced for the regular just card. I think that got shown off today, and it was like
the game.
Like a pouch and a CD and all this sort of wacky stuff.
Hang on, I've got it up here. It comes with a shoulder bag. Production note. I don't know what that means. I think
it's an art book.
Like an art book, yeah. A little keychain. Or chain, it looks like two. And soundtrack with 5 tracks, I think it said.
That shoulder bag looks kind of neat, just like a neat way to bring it with you, because that's how you're going to play Monster Hunter.
There was also the blue box that has all the stuff in it at the start of a level?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They've made, you know how you got those Switch bags that you can put like your dock and power cables and stuff in? It's that, but it's the blue box.
That's a really neat idea.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
They're really going all in on this. It's like, you know, this is...
This is going to sell out Switches in Japan if it hasn't already.
And I think this will, because, you know, hypothetically, this is happening this year, and then if the Pokemon Stars rumor comes true, like that sort of maybe game set match for the Switch in Japan, you'd imagine, and Splatoon.
Pokemon would do it in the West. I think Pokemon's the only Nintendo game that I regularly see midnight launches for.
Mm.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
What's a midnight launch?
Yeah.
Is that a thing they do in the other? There was something else I was going to say about it, but I've forgotten, so I don't know why I said that I'd forgotten it.
Well, something that I wish I could have forgotten is that Rabbids Kingdom Battle is maybe so officially
gold
thing?
Gold story, is it?
No, unfortunately, we have to talk about Rabbids for a moment. We owe it to our loyal audience. There's leaks. Who knows if it's legit? It may or may not be, but it looks pretty legit. Like, there's been a lot of effort put into a fake, if so. But yeah, so Rabbids Kingdom Battle is a thing where there are Rabbids and Mario in the same game, and it's cooler because Mario has a gun now and makes fun of himself. That's what this game is.
Let's not make a new Metroid game. Let's give Mario a gun.
Yes.
And let's put Rabbids in it.
And the gun quite literally looks like, you know, what would be on Samus'
arm. How much cocaine was in this meeting? It's the only explanation I can think of.
Those crazy French people. But yeah, on the what's leaked so far is what looks like internal marketing material. So stuff that was probably not meant for like regular people, but more for stores and stuff like that, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of, you know, playable characters that all have personalities.
That marketing material really...
Mario doesn't have a personality. It must be fake.
He's so boring and non-humorous. He's so conservative.
He literally doesn't have a personality, though. But anyway.
Wahoo!
Yeah.
I'm as dull as fuck, Peach.
Wahoo! The meat, that's going to be a place where I'll have to use the censorship scream. The meatiest part of this leak is that apparently the game is going to be a mixture of exploration and turn-based combat sort of game styles.
Sign me up. That is what I want. I mean, I yearn for a decent RPG on the system, and I know there's IM set sooner, but, you know, I'll wait till I'm in Japan to buy the retail version. I think Ubisoft has made some good RPGs recently, like the South Park game and...
Did Ubisoft do Child of Light?
Yes.
Because that was neat.
And so, I mean, you know, I'm hoping it's a bit like, you know, the Mario RPG games.
Well, it looks like...
The gameplay is going to be overshadowed by the fact that I absolutely hate the Rabbids.
Yeah, so it's going to have to be a very good game for me to overlook that.
There is no way you would buy this game, Troy.
I don't think I will.
So what if someone bought it for you? Would you play it?
I would be very concerned because they'd probably go missing the next day.
What, the game or the piece of the people who gave it to you?
Maybe both.
You have a very specific set of skills reserved for Rabbids gifters.
This seems like a game that's going to have amiibo, and that makes me really anxious.
Well, I mean, I know Rabbids have sort of like a Minions sort of vibe to them, and that they're annoying as hell and all that stuff.
They're like the Minions that didn't catch on.
But, I mean, well, no, they didn't catch on here, but apparently in France, they're everywhere. Like they just go mad from... I mean, because that's sort of where Ubisoft is based, but... I mean, I sort of have faith that this will turn out all right, just because Nintendo, I mean, is sort of very protective about this stuff. That said, we're in a world where Mario and Sonic Olympic Games...
All right, the Olympic Games.
Yeah, kind of trashy. But I don't know. Look, I'm optimistic for this. I think it'll be a fun game at worst.
I think I don't want to write it off, but I also... don't see anything in it that makes me go, I want to go and purchase this game the moment it comes out. So I think it's a wait and see for me.
I mean, it's kind of annoying that this all got spoiled before E3, because I thought this could have been a good reveal if done right at E3.
They ruined the ads. How dare they?
Well, no. I mean, I don't think those ads were meant to get out, but and they've sort of diluted the messaging a bit. Whereas I think this had been a bit more of a controlled sort of, you know, a Nintendo. Like, Nintendo wouldn't use that sort of marketing or slang.
No, of course.
So, I mean, again, I'm cautiously optimistic for it, and E3's right around the corner. We will see gameplay and all that of it. The rumoured release date is meant to be, like, August or something.
I didn't actually check that, but that sounds about right.
So, I mean, that'll sort of fill a slot that is in the calendar after Splatoon is out, and, you know, then you imagine Fire Emblem Heroes or Warriors or whatever the hell it's called wouldn't be too far after that.
If they make amiibo for it, though, I quit.
You quit? Are you an amiibo everything collector up until this comes out?
That's my line.
Arms doesn't get
this
amiibo.
This is my art.
Arms doesn't get amiibo, but Rabbids does.
What kind of world are we living in?
Horrendous one. A horrendous world that would be made a little bit more pleasant by Golf Story. Has anybody watched the trailer for this that's come out pretty recently?
I did watch it.
I didn't watch the trailer.
I forgot it.
I mean, it looks very... To me, it looked a bit like Stardew Valley visually. Like, obviously, the game's nothing like that. To sort of sum it up, it's a RPG where you are a golf man and you do golf things as you do your RPGing, which is kind of what I got from the trailer.
Once upon a time, I would have said, what the hell, this is really silly. But, you know, there's a very popular franchise based on, like, an RPG franchise based on soccer.
Yeah.
Inazuma 11 is so good. Oh, my God. I have, and I've already played one, but I really liked it.
And I mean, even golf, like, I reckon you'd probably remember this, Daniel, but wasn't the Game Boy Color Mario Golf like a semi-RPG as well?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if this will have any similarity, but it's not unprecedented.
I didn't play that back in the day, but playing it on the Virtual Console. And I think even the GBA one is about the same. Did they actually show if there's, like, turn-based battles or anything in this? Or if it's just...
It didn't look like it in the trailer. Like, I couldn't quite tell. It looked like you solved puzzles mainly through golfing powers.
Power of golf.
Like,
well, it's all 8-bit.
Yeah, like, I'm not quite sure if there is, like, the battle-y stuff.
It's not 8-bit, that's 16-bit.
It's bitty. It's pixelated graphics.
Yeah, okay, 16-bit, but point...
I will not stand for people to call 16-bit graphics 8-bit anymore. I'm sick of that trend.
So everyone's drawing lines to
it's retro.
Thank you. That'll
yes,
do.
that's a good cover.
You remember the Scott Pilgrim game? Ubisoft advertised that as 8-bit graphics, and I'm like, in no reality is that 8-bit.
The average user just goes pixel graphics 8-bit.
The average
user's retarded.
But yes, this game is in pixelated retro style graphics. I don't know what else there really is to say. It looks kind of neat. There's the trailer.
What I was going to say, though, I hope it's a bit like, did anyone play Legend of the River King? And I know everyone will say no.
I have no idea what that is.
Okay. So it
rings a bell.
It's a Game Boy RPG. And, you know, there's like random turn-based battles, but the whole main premise of the game is you're just fishing. And you're just sort of exploring the world and doing these, like, each area you go to. It's like, you got to catch this fish or you got to catch that one. And then there is, like, little, just I say monsters, but it's like, there's a bat or there's a spider that you have to fight every now and then. So that's sort of what I'm hoping for.
You hope to beat up animals with a golf club.
Yes. Man, that would be so cool. No.
Well, anyway, let's to get away from that. That's probably about it for news, and we'll go to talking about beating up other things, other people, after the break. Hello, we're back, and so there's been some games that have come out in the last fortnight or so. We're going to talk about them. The first one is, let me get this full title correct, Ultra Street Fighter 2, The Final Challenges, which is, it's Street Fighter 2. If you want to play that on your Switch and you have a spare $60, that's one way to do it. Has anyone aside from me given this a go?
I played it at the hands-on event for the Switch. That's it.
I'm not.
Yeah, I feel like you probably got all you need to out of it.
I am pretty good at button mashing. Steve from Steve Ivor completely thrashed me at it.
Huh. I gotta say, after playing ARMS over the weekend, I have come close to buying it because I'm like, I'm in the mood for more fighting games to play online. Why can't Pocket
fighting games? It's a genre that I like playing, but I'm so bad at it. I don't know how to...
Yeah, I feel kind of similar. Like, I think for fighting games, for me, a fighting game lives or dies by whether I have friends that are going to play it on a semi-regular basis. Like, I'm not particularly great, but, like, it's still fun enough if you have other people to play with. But, yeah, this... I think just to summarize for anyone who's not fully aware, basically this is...
You've never heard of Street Fighter.
Well, basically, this one, it's like, so about 10 years ago, there was an HD remix version of Street Fighter 2 Turbo that came out on 360 and PS3. This is pretty close to being exactly that, except for like three times the price and on the Switch.
And Evil Ryu and Violent Ken.
Oh, yes, yeah. Evil Ryu and like Violent
first person
Ken.
Mode.
Yeah, with a really horrendous motion control segment. So that's basically you'd have your two Joy-Cons, one in either hand, and you're mimicking Hadouken motions, Shoryuken motions, spin kick, Tatsumaki motions, and it doesn't work very well. I feel like I tried it. I tried to be, you know, sort of conservative with movements. That didn't work. I tried to be like ultra, I look like a complete doofus cosplaying Goku. That didn't work. I just couldn't get it to do anything consistently, and I hated that mode entirely, and that's pretty well all it has to offer aside from two kind of palette-swappy characters on top of a game from a long time ago.
Did you ever play the Dragon Ball games on Wii?
No.
Because they did, you know, they did the whole, to launch like one of your three uber special awesome attacks, you would have to do some special sort of motion controls that meant to mimic sort of the movements, and they worked really well. And, you know, the Budokai Tenkaichi games, they are, you know, semi-serious fighting games, albeit, you know, Dragon Ball and all that crap.
They were as serious as Dragon Ball gets, yeah, the Tenkaichi games.
Yeah, and that those movement things can work, but just from all reports, it just doesn't work in this. Cause they just
I honestly tried as much as I could. I sort of sat there for about an hour over a couple of different sessions just to see if, you know, coming back to it later on would make it any better. Nope, it sure doesn't. It basically just sends mindless, like, nameless goons at you to hit until you die or you defeat enough for it to say you win. It's not great. But yeah, I mean, it's Street Fighter 2. If you want to play it, you can. I don't honestly personally think it's worth the price, but
yeah, that's big thing for me. Like, I would buy this at like $40. I would probably, oh yeah, I want that. That'll be a bit of fun every now and then. But, you know, it sort of reeks of like, maybe Capcom didn't have much time to plan for the Switch, and then they're like, what can we get out there really quick that we know will do well?
Yeah, I didn't want to say that in the review. I had that in mind, but like, it's pretty, I felt like it was the least effort they could put in to have something around launch to say, you know, we're experimenting and supporting the Switch, but we don't want to put any risk behind it yet. Like, it is, if you want to play Street Fighter 2, it's probably the best way to play it, sort of controllers aside. But yeah, you have to really want to play Street Fighter 2 and not be happy with like an old $5 virtual console version.
I mean, even like, you know, the ultimate version of Street Fighter 4 would have been great, and I think everyone would have sort of been all over that. Or, you know, I think the only way I'd buy Street Fighter 2 again is if, like, oh, here's Street Fighter 2, but then we've added another 10 extra characters that are all from, like, newer games, but we've remade them in Street Fighter 2 style. But then this is just like, yeah, it's Street Fighter 2. And, I mean, I've got Street Fighter 2 on my 3DS for, like, you know, $10.
Yeah, and I mean, thinking back to the 3DS launch, you had Super Street Fighter 4, I can't remember which one, but it was great. Street Fighter 4 at launch. That was, yeah, it kind of really contrasts with this being, here is a 25-year-old Street Fighter versus last generation where you had, here is a pretty decent approximation of the current Street Fighter.
And which, the extra mode in that was really fun, the Street Pass sort of like little battling.
Yeah,
mode.
Even I had fun with that.
Yeah. But yeah, that's probably about all I have to say about Street Fighter, so we'll quickly move on to a sort of surprise stealth release that came out the last week or so. I don't think there was any marketing push behind it. It just kind of appeared on app stores in Italy or something, and then everywhere.
And there was a song?
Oh, yes, yeah. A song appeared on the YouTube page, which you can access from within the game, I found. Magikarp Jump, it's on the mobile devices. I don't think it's technically Nintendo. It's like a Pokemon Company thing, but yeah, I've been playing it. I know Troy's been playing it. What are your thoughts?
Probably too much.
It's very easy to play and lose track of time without really putting any effort in, so I can kind of appreciate how that happens.
Yeah, it's that kind of addictive grind cycle. It doesn't feel like it's really trying to make you put money into it, which I appreciate.
Yeah, so like there are purchases for like cosmetic stuff or to get Pokemon helper buddy things earlier than you would otherwise, but I've never felt pressured into spending money yet, and I've played it for a couple of hours.
Yeah, it's pretty much just a numbers game with Pokemon painting over the top, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, to sort of summarize the... Yeah, it is quite nice how, you know, it's reasonably well written and they, you know, play up the fact that Magikarp is a pathetic flop. But, yeah, like, mechanic-wise, it's very... Well, they literally say that in the game. It's wonderful. But, yeah, it's pretty much you'll catch or fish for a Magikarp, catch it, feed it some things or do some training, and those are all sort of time-based, so you can only do it so much in a specific period of time. But I've found that it's generous enough that it doesn't really limit you until later on, I think. And yeah,
I'm pretty late in the game and it still doesn't feel
okay. Well, like that. There you go. But yeah, you do the training, then you go do some battles, which Magikarp can do a big flop jump the highest, and you just keep doing that until you have fully trained your Magikarp, because it can get up to a maximum level and then it can't grow any further. Go do the fight, go get as far as you can, and when it loses, it retires and you get a new Magikarp, and by the time you get that new Magikarp, you will have leveled up as a trainer, so you can train the next one up higher. And it's really just that cycle. You just keep going through that and have fun with your Magikarp, really.
Yeah. I'm a fair way into it. Level 28 now.
Oh, wow. I think so I'm my like carp 9.
Is... I've been playing a fair bit every day. It's always got something to do. You got like different Magikarp patterns that you can collect as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And, like you can, with the money that you win, you can upgrade the type of training that you do or the food that your Magikarp eats so that they'll be more effective the next time, really. You know, whenever you succeed, it can feed back into the training part to make your training faster, but then it's kind of counteracted by the fact they can give you higher levels. So it's just a cycle.
It's a grind cycle.
Totally. It's a mobile game, but also it's good that it doesn't feel predatory.
It really doesn't. It's just a grind cycle in a game that's just full of charm because it's Magikarp, the useless Pokemon. And
it might have been useful.
Everyone kind of likes. Yeah. But, yeah, with the food, you feed it berries and you can power the berries up so that they give more jump power. And now every time that I retire a Magikarp and get a new one, just with like the food already in the tank, I can get it to like level 15 straight off the bat.
Oh, wow. That's like as high as mine have been able to level. Well,
yeah.
Well, yeah, that's
it's free. Try it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's addictive. If you have a phone or a tablet, it's going to cost you nothing. And
if you have a phone.
Yeah. Just have some fun for no money. And yeah. A thing that does cost money is Thumper. I haven't played it, but I'm very keen to hear what you think about it, Troy.
It's brutal, but not in a difficulty way, just in a... Oh, it's so hard to explain. It's a rhythm game.
It looks kind of audio surf-like, but that seems like it's not the correct description.
Visually, a little bit, but it's a lot more mechanically complex than any other rhythm game that I've played.
Okay.
So you have to, like, take corners, which means that you have to, like, steer into the corner and hold a certain button. You'll have things in the ground, like, they look like spikes, like railway spike type things.
Ah, yep.
And you have to hold A to, like, smash through them. And it introduces these new elements quite naturally as well.
It kind of sounds, this might be completely wrong, but it sounds a little bit like Vib Ribbon and that you've got, like, a track... And there'll be different hazards and you have to remember which button corresponds to the action to negate each hazard. And the hazards are generally like timed in time with the music. Is that fairly, you know, accurate?
Have you ever played BitTrip Runner?
Yes.
I'd probably more accurately compare it to that.
Okay.
Hello, you have my attention.
Where it's just...
We might lose your attention by saying that the developer calls it a rhythm violence game. Which I love, but I don't know if you'd be all about that.
By violent, it means that the ambience of it and the visuals and just it feels so visceral when you go through all of these different obstacles.
Every opinion I've heard of it is like, it's a super stressful game. It just makes you feel uneasy and just like...
I remember it was a PSVR launch title or close to launch, and people were just talking about how brutally like intense on your senses it was. And I think a lot of people loved it for that.
That's sort of what's put me off it. I'm like, I don't know if I could do that. I find Snake Pass intense. that's just a snake. And he does.
It's kind of got that late 80s chrome vibe to it.
Okay.
Like everything is just, it's either shiny or it's kind of got this ominous aura to it. It's hard to explain because I know I've got synesthesia, so I see it differently than other people would.
Oh, interesting. That would make this game quite interesting for you, I suspect.
How's the music?
I like it. It's not really music.
Okay.
It's...
Yeah, how would you describe the soundscape?
The soundscape, it... Oh, I can't remember. There were these stage performers that had, like, it was a percussion thing, and they just had, like, different, like, buckets and tins and all of that, and they just, like, stomp on the ground and just hit things. And
so, like, aggressive noise?
It is, but it's still got purpose. Watch the trailer, and you'll know exactly what I mean. Like, the last 5-10 seconds of the trailer kind of shows exactly what I mean, where it's just kind of like this raw, visceral, percussive sound.
Does it keep that same, like, is viscerality a word?
It is.
I'm going to say
I know
it
what
is.
You mean.
Does it keep that, like, playing on the Switch? I imagine it would be a bit more intense, say, playing in VR, but I know that they made some adjustments to the viewpoint and stuff to make it Switch appropriate. Do you think it still has the same kind of impact?
Well, I'm not a fan of VR myself, so I haven't actually played it in VR.
Ah, fair enough.
I definitely, it's one of those games, it's not a headphones game. I tried playing it with headphones, handheld in bed, and it just doesn't have the same impact.
Okay.
I had it playing on my TV with the volume right up.
Oh, that's right.
How I had to play it.
So sound enveloping you rather than being piped into your ears.
Well, this doesn't sound loud in the headphones, whereas, yeah, no, it actually sounds, I had it on max volume and it felt soft.
Because You'd think having headphones on, I mean, I think you've got the same headphones as I do. The
Sony ones?
Yeah. The Bluetoothy ones. But yeah, having that, because, you know, with headphones, you sort of block all other sound out. And you'd think just having that being the only thing you're hearing would be a bit more intense than, I mean, I guess it
depends. No, it just didn't do it for me.
Do you have like a decent sound system or just the TV speakers?
I've got like this almost decade-old Logitech PC speaker set up for it.
But they would have a little subwoofer if I'm thinking of the right ones.
Fairly big one, but yeah.
That would probably help. Like, you can't replace just the thumpiness of a subwoofer with headphones.
See, I don't have a sound system, so...
Well, the interesting thing is I've noticed in the background that all of the rhythm comes from the sounds of you hitting the obstacles in the game.
Okay.
Like, when you go around a corner, it kind of makes this really sharp metal scraping sound. It doesn't sound as awful as I probably make it sound. It just sounds
industrial,
like,
to me, from what you're describing.
Yes, industrial. That's the perfect word for it.
Again, you have my attention.
But in the background, it's kind of got these rising strings, and as the level progresses and the speed and rhythm increases, the strings get more and more intense, and then you get to a checkpoint and it just all fades away, and then it builds up again.
Okay. Cool.
It's really clever.
I really want to give it a go. I don't have the time or probably money right now, but yeah, it sounds really fun.
I'm super interested, but I mean, I've got like just this week, I think there's like 3 Switch games I want to pick up.
Watch a trailer. I think the Game Grumps played it.
Well, that might,
and that's how I got into it, because I was like, "Oh, that game looks awesome! I want to play that." And I just kind of forgot about it. And then it's like, "Oh, it's coming out to Switch in like a week." And I'm like, "God damn!"
They played on the Switch or on the PSVR?
PS4, but it's the same.
Must check that,
because the PS4 version isn't VR only; it's VR or TV. Because
I watched the trailer, and I'm still like, I don't get it. What am I doing? What am I meant to be doing? This just looks like moving down a track and Well, I guess it is showing you the gameplay, but without knowing how the game plays, it doesn't sort of make sense.
It's an experience, and it's just abstract, so it's kind of, you sit in, and the music and the visuals are just, they're not strongly defined enough for you to kind of know what it is. It kind of just makes you feel stuff.
Yeah.
That's why I always like abstract things, is that it just gives you the bits, and your brain puts it together however your brain normally puts things together.
Cool.
I'm getting philosophical into art and stuff.
Yeah, before we go off into arts degree territory.
Instead of arts.
Oh, I see. Instead of arts, we have arms, which we've all had a chance to actually play now that the test punch has happened over the weekend. I believe they're all done now.
There's going to be another one this coming weekend, isn't there? Or at least there's at least one more.
Yeah, this weekend. Yeah. And it's got different game types and stuff.
Oh, I wonder if they have the other three characters playable.
Probably not.
I'm keen to get to try it. Bite Bark.
Yeah, Kid Cobra for me. But anyway.
But yeah, I know that you've had some opinions on arms, Daniel. I've seen you furiously tweeting over the last couple of days. Let us know what you've been
while
thinking.
While I'm playing it, I'm just instinctively just pressing the capture button as much as I can. So I can just upload photos because I like to do that. I've really enjoyed this. And I was kind of super apprehensive going in because, you know, motion controls and all that. I'm like, am I going to get tired? Am I going to, you know, like at first I thought you just moved around using the sticks, but then someone's like, no, all movement's done using just tilting around. And I'm like, oh, that's going to be interesting. But then I sort of committed myself to just only using the motion controls, and I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is just, like, so much fun.
What do you do? Why is it fun? Let everyone know.
You punch people.
With your arms?
Yes. So it's basically, I think I've seen it described as, like, it's a third-person sort of arena fighting game.
Can I bring up the comparison to Pokken?
I think we've mentioned that in past episodes as well, and I think that's now that we've played it, it's somewhat accurate.
Has anyone played Virtual On? It's like a sort of mech fighting game, and it's a bit, you know, it's...
I've walked past it in an arcade once.
Yeah. It's a really hard game to describe. It's, you know, because it's like one part sort of like Pokken, another part Punch-Out,
I'd say, like, Wii Boxing meets Pokken. It's got the viewpoint of Pokken and the characterization of it, and then the control scheme kind of feels like a developed Wii Boxing.
See, but it's not even that. It's like, I don't think the punching is as much... You know, punching's how you do damage and all of that stuff, but I feel the game's more about movement and dodging and just trying to get out of the way and plan your attacks. And like, that's... Most fighting games, I guess, is more about just trying to avoid and strike when you get...
Sort of. I feel like this one's more about using the 3D space, but not just about where your character is, but where your arms are.
Yeah, you have to be super aware of your... Because you can control each arm individually, and they have a fairly long time when they, you know, leave you, hit their target, and sort of spring back. You have to be super aware of where both arms are at each time in relation to you.
It's like the video game equivalent of the sense of proprioception, if anybody knows what that is.
No idea.
It's the sense of knowing where your limbs are in 3D space. That's what they test, you know, when the cops pull you over because they think you're drink driving, and they go, shut your eyes and spread your arms out and touch your nose. That's proprioception.
Oh. Well, and that's what arms is. Today.
So who did everyone main? Who did you find?
Min.
Okay.
I don't think I mained anyone. I just, like, tried a couple of characters, and they were all pretty neat, I guess.
And you just spammed grab?
Yeah, I did find that grab was more useful than a lot of things. Like, if there was an opportunity, it seemed like grab did more damage than a couple of punches.
Well, I found the opposite.
A lot of the character attributes are kind of tied to the main triangle of the game, because it's grab beats block, block beats punch, punch beats grab.
Mm.
So Master Mummy has to guard to get his health back, which meant that he's pretty much just asking to be grabbed.
He just wants a hug.
I thought that was a clever little... Yeah,
it's kind of like a little bit simpler than your typical fighting game, like where you've got, you know, you can block, but that won't block attacks that are low, and then if you block low, then it won't block attacks that are attacking high. It's sort of that kind of idea. If you block
too many, your arms break.
Yes, I did find that a few times, so you just walk around with floppy arms.
See, I feel calling it simple, though, is a disservice, because it sort of... It appears simple, but just playing it, you can see a lot of depth in it.
I think mechanically simpler, but that doesn't... You know, not trying to say it doesn't have depth, but like it doesn't have as many variables in that going on at the time, I guess, or at least they're less in the triangle.
Calling it the Splatoon of fighting games is actually probably really apt.
See, because from what I can gather, each character is pretty much going to have access to most of the different types of arms in the game, and so it more comes down to the character themselves and what their special abilities are. Like Min Min has, I find Min Min was a lot faster than a lot of other characters, and also had that cool sort of kick where she could block any incoming attacks, or Master Mummy where he could heal.
I've found myself getting wrecked by that dragon laser a lot.
Oh my god! So that's like, I found, especially my first play of it, I just found I was spamming Min Min a lot because her using the dragon arm and then the boomerang to sort of like, you shoot with the dragon and then someone's going to dodge out of the way, so you hit him at the side using the boomerang swirly thing.
The chakram.
Yes, that's the one.
I had a different technique with Min Min. I had the chakram kind of throw that one out to stun them, but then I would have had my the electric ball arm thing. I can't remember what it was called. I'd have that charged up, and then I hit them, and it stuns them, and then I grab them. Because they can't block it. Because their arms are numb.
Didn't even think of doing that.
There are so many strategies that I could just kind of see popping into my head. There is a lot of depth
to your character choice in, you know, each arm can have one of three different... Are they called fists, or are they called arms on the end of the arms?
They're called arms, because it's the arm getter.
Oh, yes, of course. So, yeah, each character can choose different arms for each side, and so, you know, all the different combinations.
That's in the demo, but in the full game, you're going to be able to unlock more arms for your characters to use.
Oh, okay.
So each character announced so far has three arms already announced for them, so that's a total of 30, like, on release day.
Well, I mean, I was under,
so
I was
who
under
knows how many variations it's going to be.
More. Maybe I was wrong.
I mean, they've got three recommended arms, is what I'm saying. And they've all got three recommended arms that are totally... There's no overlap.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that there's already 30 arms in the game.
I get you.
I think the part of it, to sort of move on to another part, the part of it that surprised me the most was how really fluid and well thought out the lobby system was. Like,
I love it.
It's basically, you like go into a lobby room, and depending on how many people are there, how many people are already in a match, and how many people are waiting, it just sort of finds the best match for the people that are waiting. And, you know, you go around playing a bunch of different game types depending on who's available. And it just meant
what
you
I really
never
liked.
Had to choose which type. You just got to try everything, and the game just sort of did it for you.
But while you're waiting, you can see how people who are in the game, you can see how it's playing out. You can see their health go down. You can see the scores and
And
it was uncharacteristically Nintendo. It was really in depth.
Did you find yourself waiting a bit in some lobbies for a game?
A tiny bit.
Every now and then, maybe a minute or two, but like not often.
I just found it weird. Like, I'm in a lobby and then there's someone else who's not playing a game either. I'm like, why doesn't it just automatically pair us up to play instead of...
Yeah, I don't know. But I felt a lot of my waiting was because it was avoiding putting me with people I just played with.
Yeah, and I think it might also be, you know, if other people in a different match are close to finishing, maybe it's waiting for them to finish so it can mix up the players a bit and mix up game modes and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know, but yeah, as Troy said, it's uncharacteristically well thought out for a Nintendo Online thing. It really surprised me.
Did you find the what you could do with pressing the L and R button?
I did not.
Yeah, and just start spamming that while you're waiting. And then because you could see, like, some people didn't know you could, but then once they realized you could do it, everyone's just sort of doing it all together.
So fill me in, what does it do?
Yeah.
It just makes your little icon sort of like, there's one to make them look
It jumps and one that rotates.
Oh, okay.
There's one that sort that's of neat. Rotates and looks sad, looks angry, and then the jumping one looks happy, and it was just a random thing you could do. And I'm like, this is kind of cool. So
I actually have a little saga that happened with my arms experience.
Do tell.
So the first one, I slept in a little.
Yeah, I missed the first one entirely.
I got in 10 minutes late.
Okay.
But I was getting nothing but, I wouldn't say connectivity issues. I just, it'd have 2v2 and then my teammate would drop out. So it was 2v1. Gross. Or it was like 3v3 and I'm trying to land punches and I could see my fists just go straight through the character models.
Ooh.
It was basically just like internet issues. And I was getting really pissed off with it.
Fair enough.
It was to the point where I had 40 minutes of just the game wasn't working. And it still kind of stuck with me because it's apparently still peer-to-peer. People were getting connectivity issues and it was the same as what they were getting with Mario Kart.
Oh, okay.
And they're all peer-to-peer based issues. So I'm really worried about how Nintendo's going to do online for this game.
I think
especially after a paid subscription, because if they're not having dedicated servers,
maybe
it's kind of just brought up that fear again, I guess.
Maybe they will go dedicated servers once it is pay.
Well, everyone's saying that this is a server stress test, but if it's peer-to-peer, what are they stress testing?
It wouldn't make sense for them to, change the system up after they've already done a global test for it. Like, they clearly, there'd be no point testing something that's not going to be an end product.
That might just be, it might be more, less stress test and more play the game.
It might be more stress testing the matchmaking system more than anything else.
Yeah, that was my other point.
I had a completely different experience. It might be because I'm one of the lucky few to have a decent NBN internet connection, but I didn't notice any, things that missed that looked like they should have hit or vice versa. It kind of, it's hard to tell without having the other person in the same room, but it felt reasonably local. It didn't feel like I was getting any, internet lag.
That's the thing. I tried it on the 10 p.m. one, and then I didn't have any issues at all, and I actually, the game clicked and I loved it.
Interesting.
And then the third test punch, I was winning more matches than I was losing. So
yeah, I wonder if they changed something with the servers punches. Or if you just got better internet, less congested at that time.
Yeah, I did best on the first test punch. But then ones after that, I felt maybe there was a tiny bit of lag or something. So I don't know, maybe it was just random or whatever.
I barely dodged. I was playing with the Pro Controller. As well.
Okay. Yeah, same. I didn't touch motion controls.
Because I did try the controller, I think, on the last one I got to try, and after just trying that in the test room, and I'm like, nah, I can't get my head. I don't think this works as well.
You got to stick with it. It took me a long time for me to kind of get my head around it, but
I was so completely fine using the motion controls. I thought, these are great. There were certain times when I would go to do two punches too quickly and it would go to grab instead.
You get that on the Pro Controller as well.
It just became so instinctive to just sort of move and dodge around. And I was using Dash to jump and dodge a lot, and I just found no problems with it.
I think the only issue I found with the Pro Controller was literally all my own fault, just because the last sort of dodgy movie action game I played was The Surge, which had different buttons for jumping and dashing, so I just kept pressing the wrong buttons and punching instead, which is entirely my own fault, but it was a bit of a learning curve for me. But after I got past that, I didn't think it was confusing with the controls. I enjoyed the controller. I don't want to look like a doofus. That's my issue.
That's the thing. You don't. I mean, it's not like it's a Wii Sports style of punching. It's not like, just doing big wild flaying. It's sort of more small controlled motion, which
it's still motion.
Yeah, but I
don't have anything against the motion controls or all motion controls inherently. I just wanted to play with a Pro Controller if I'm playing it for an hour.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. I'm just an old man.
Kicking myself. No, you're not. I'm sort of kicking myself I didn't try it handheld.
Yeah, I'll be trying that this next weekend with hoops.
Can I? How good does it look?
Great.
It's very pretty.
Like, I mean, I don't want to say best game, best looking game Nintendo's made in a world of Mario Kart 8, but just the, you know, how crisp and clean and colourful everything looks.
And fluid.
Yes. Yeah, it's got like Splatoon. Like, Splatoon's not the prettiest game in the world, but it just, everything sort of moves buttery smooth. And the same with this, and just all the personality that all the fighters have sort of come through in that art style.
Yeah, and I definitely...
That's what Nintendo are good at.
Absolutely.
The art style.
And I think, I don't think I noticed any performance issues ever. Like, it's, yeah, it seems to be a, you know, buttery smooth frame rate the whole time.
Mm.
I could hear the fan on my Switch kind of go mad.
So, yeah, I went to go pick up my Switch right after the first round to go just sort through the photos I took, and I'm like, oh, this is a bit warm.
Oh, this is a bit warped and bent. Whoops.
No, I hope it's not. I don't think...
Shouldn't have punched it.
Go get a ruler.
I mean,
get a spirit level.
I do have a bit of a defect on my Switch with the Joy-Cons not locking in properly, one side.
Oh, that's a shame.
That's not good.
Any final armsy thoughts?
I will get this day one.
I mean, I think
a change from your prior thought?
I was really upset because I was like, this was kind of fun at the hands-on event, and now I'm hating it. What the hell? It turns out it was just unresponsive because my internet sucked.
Hopefully it's not unresponsive when it actually comes out, I guess.
I think Nintendo's set a good goal for themselves to make a decent fighting game, and this reaches for it quite well. I think, you know, I think my game time on this is going to be extended a lot longer than I thought it would be. And it definitely does have legs.
Well, they said with the whole free updates thing as well, so this game is only going to get bigger.
I know you kind of want to wrap up, Stephen, but I just want to ask one thing of you. Because you're the guy, because I look at you as a fighting game guy, because I know you do play a lot of them with James.
You flatter me.
But, you know, unless it's my Smash Brothers and I'm kicking your ass of Wario.
Yep.
How do you think this game's going to go with the fighting game community?
I don't think it's going to, I don't know, become a mainstay in the quote-unquote fighting game community, but I do think it has the depth and, I don't know, it has enough there to, you know, you can actually have some depth and strategy in how you play. You can do all your mind games and stuff. Like, obviously it's a bit early to know exactly how people are going to play it, but I think it's possible it could have its own little niche. Like, you could have your anime games, anime fighters section, and your Nintendo fighters section. I feel like it could exist alongside the others.
Nintendo sort of positioned themselves in like they could legitimately do a decent Nintendo World Championship just with all of their own games.
With Blast Ball.
Yeah, let's just shut up.
could do. Cool. Any other thoughts before we close out?
No.
No? Cool. That's the episode for this time. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. If you want to follow us on Twitter, I am at Stephen Impson, Troy is at StewReview, and Daniel is at WorthNintendo, and Vux is at Vux.net on all the social bits and pieces. Yeah, go on the site. We've got bargain stuff and reviews and all that jazz. I won't go into detail because you can see it all there. But yeah, I guess until next time, I hope you have a good day, night, and week.
Yes.
And in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
True, man.
Good call. So,
to make it snappy. Snappy, come on.